Lesson 20. Doctrine and Covenants, Sections 14 through 16. Introduction. In late May of 1829, Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery endured threats from mobs while completing the translation of the Book of Mormon. David Whitmer helped them move from Harmony, Pennsylvania, to the Whitmer home in Fayette, New York, so they could escape persecution and so they could teach the restored gospel to the Whitmers and their neighbors. The Whitmer family took great interest in the unfolding events of the Restoration. Joseph Smith described David Whitmer, John Whitmer, and Peter Whitmer, Jr. as zealous friends and assistants in the work, and anxious to know their respective duties. The prophet prayed and received revelations for David Whitmer and his brothers, John and Peter. These brothers learned about their roles in bringing forth the Lord's work. Suggestions for teaching. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 14. The Lord calls David Whitmer to assist in the Latter-day work. To help students understand the historical background of the revelations they will study today, summarize the information in the introduction to this lesson. In addition, you may want to ask a student to read the following account. Before the student reads, explain that David Whitmer needed to plant wheat seed on the family farm and spread plaster of Paris, which was used as a fertilizer. He felt inspired that he should help Joseph and Oliver after he had completed those tasks. Invite the class to listen for the miracles that allowed David Whitmer to help Oliver Cowdery and Joseph Smith escape from their persecutors. Quote, David went to the field and found that he had two heavy days' work before him. He then fastened his horses to the harrow, and instead of dividing the field into what is, by farmers usually termed lands, drove around the whole of it, continuing thus till noon, when on stopping for dinner, he looked around and discovered to his surprise that he had harrowed in full half the wheat. After dinner he went on as before, and by evening he finished the whole 2 days' work. His father, on going into the field the same evening, saw what had been done, and he exclaimed, "There must be an overruling hand in this, and I think you would better go down to Pennsylvania as soon as your plaster of Paris is sewn." The next morning, David took a wooden measure under his arm and went out to sew the plaster, which he had left 2 days previous in heaps near his sister's house. But on coming to the place, he discovered that it was gone. He then ran to his sister and inquired of her if she knew what had become of it. Being surprised, she asked, "Why do you ask me? Was it not all sewn yesterday?" "Not to my knowledge," answered David. "I'm astonished at that," replied his sister, "for the children came to me in the forenoon and begged me to go out and see the men sew plaster in the field, saying that they never saw anybody sew plaster so fast in their lives. I accordingly went and saw three men at work in the field, as the children said, but supposing that you had hired some help, on account of your hurry, I immediately went into the house and gave the subject no further attention." David made considerable inquiry in regard to the matter, both among his relatives and neighbors, but was not able to learn who had done it. End quote. From Lucy Mack Smith, History of Joseph Smith by His Mother. Pages 148 through 149. How do you think these experiences might have influenced David Whitmer? Summarize Doctrine and Covenants, Section 14, verses 1 through 5, by explaining that the Lord announced the coming forth of His work and promised blessings to those who take part in it. Invite a student to read Doctrine and Covenants, Section 14, verses 6 through 7. Ask the class to follow along, looking for the Lord's directions to David and the blessing David would receive as a result of heeding the Lord's instructions. What did the Lord promise David Whitmer? What was David required to do in order for this promise to be fulfilled? Ask students to restate the principle in Doctrine and Covenants, Section 14, verse 7, in their own words. As students respond, write the following principle on the board. If we keep God's commandments and endure to the end, we will receive eternal life. What does it mean to receive eternal life? To receive eternal life is to live forever with our families in God's presence. Eternal life is the kind of life God lives. How can the promise of eternal life motivate us to keep God's commandments and endure to the end? Invite a student to read Doctrine and Covenants, Section 14, verse 8, aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for other blessings David Whitmer could receive if he was obedient. After students report what they find, explain that shortly after Joseph Smith received this revelation for David, David became one of the three witnesses of the Book of Mormon. He saw the angel Moroni and the gold plates, and he heard God's voice testifying of the record's truthfulness. Explain that the Lord gave David Whitmer another promise based on David's faithfulness. To prepare students to identify a principle in the Lord's words to David, write the following on the board. If we blank, the Lord will blank. Note: allow students to use their own words. As students express the doctrines and principles they find in the Scriptures, do not suggest that their answers are wrong simply because they differ from the words used in the Scriptures or in this manual. However, if a student's statement is doctrinally incorrect, it is your responsibility to gently help him or her correct the statement. Doing so may provide an important learning experience while maintaining an atmosphere of love and trust. Invite students to read Doctrine and Covenants section 14, verses 9 through 11 silently. Ask them to identify a principle that fits the pattern on the board. Allow a few students to share what they find. Students may suggest a variety of principles, but make sure it is clear that if we faithfully assist the Lord in His work, the Lord will bless us spiritually and temporally. In what ways has the Lord asked you to assist in His work? What blessings have come into your life as you have assisted in the Lord's work? Doctrine and Covenants, sections 15 and 16. Jesus Christ teaches John Whitmer and Peter Whitmer, Jr. what is of most worth to them. Invite two students to come to the front of the room. Ask one of them to read Doctrine and Covenants, section 15, verse 1 aloud. And then ask the other student to read Doctrine and Covenants, section 16, verse 1 aloud. Ask these students to read verses 2 through 6 of these sections in the same manner. Invite students to identify the desire that John Whitmer and Peter Whitmer, Jr. had in common in Doctrine and Covenants, section 15, verses 3 through 4, and Doctrine and Covenants, section 16, verses 3 through 4. What did both John Whitmer and Peter Whitmer, Jr. desire? To know what they could do to be of greatest worth to them. Invite students to read Doctrine and Covenants, section 15, verse 6, and 16, verse 6, silently. Ask them to identify the answer the Lord gave to these men. How did the Lord answer their question? What principle can we learn from the Lord's answer? Although students may use other words, be sure they understand that our efforts to bring others to Jesus Christ are of great worth to us. What can we do to help others come unto Christ? Why are these efforts of great worth to us? Invite students to review Doctrine and Covenants, section 15 and 16, looking for how the two revelations are different from each other. The only difference is that one is addressed to John and the other is addressed to Peter. Explain that at times the Lord reveals the same message to different individuals because they have similar needs, circumstances, or desires. However, we can be sure that He knows us individually. In this example, He called John Whitmer and Peter Whitmer, Jr. by name and revealed His will to them one at a time. How can a priesthood blessing or mission call show that God knows us personally, even if the blessing or mission call contains similar wording to those given to others? To provide another example that God knows us personally, ask a student to read the following account by Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. Quote, "Some time ago I spoke with a priesthood leader who was prompted to memorize the names of all of the youth ages 13 to 21 in his stake. Using snapshots of the young men and women, he created flashcards that he reviewed while traveling on business and at other times. This priesthood leader quickly learned all of the names of the youth. One night the priesthood leader had a dream about one of the young men, whom he knew only from a picture. In the dream, he saw the young man dressed in a white shirt and wearing a missionary name tag. With a companion seated at his side, the young man was teaching a family. The young man held the Book of Mormon in his hand, and he looked as if he were testifying of the truthfulness of the book. The priesthood leader then awoke from his dream. At an ensuing priesthood gathering, the leader approached the young man he had seen in his dream and asked to talk with him for a few minutes. After a brief introduction, The leader called the young man by name and said, "I'm not a dreamer. I have never had a dream about a single member of this stake, except for you. I am going to tell you about my dream, and then I would like you to help me understand what it means." The priesthood leader recounted the dream and asked the young man about its meaning. Choking with emotion, the young man simply replied, "It means God knows who I am." The remainder of the conversation between this young man and his priesthood leader was most meaningful, and they agreed to meet and counsel together from time to time during the following months. End quote. Why can it be helpful for us to realize that God knows us personally? Invite a few students to share how they know God knows them personally. You may need to explain that students' examples need not be extraordinary. Remind students that they do not need to share experiences that are too personal or private. How can the knowledge that God knows you personally influence the decisions you make daily? How has this knowledge influenced your decisions? You may want to conclude this lesson by testifying of the truths you have discussed and inviting students to act on these truths. Supplemental Teaching Ideas. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 14, Verse 7. Endure to the end. After students identify the principles in Doctrine and Covenants, Section 14, Verse 7, you may want to ask a student to read the following statement by Elder Joseph B. Worthlin of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. Quote, "Enduring to the end is the doctrine of continuing on the path leading to eternal life after one has entered into the path through faith, repentance, baptism, and receiving the Holy Ghost. Enduring to the end requires our whole heart. Enduring to the end means that we have planted our lives firmly on gospel soil, staying in the mainstream of the church, humbly serving our fellow men, living Christ-like lives, and keeping our covenants. Those who endure are balanced, consistent, humble, constantly improving, and without guile. Their testimony is not based on worldly reasons. It is based on truth, knowledge, experience, and the Spirit." End quote. Invite students to explain what it might mean to endure to the end in the following situations. A young man who recently joined the church feels like he has no friends in his ward. A young woman gets a disease that requires continual medical attention and personal care from others. A young woman's parents have recently divorced, and one of them is not active in the church. A young man or young woman is continually struggling with a temptation that can lead to addiction. Invite students to write in their class notebooks or scripture study journals how they might seek more fully to keep the commandments and endure to the end so they can receive the gift of eternal life.